Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the press. It's the Tuesday show for this week. We're going to go over all the events on the schedule that are not the PGA Tour event this week, which is the Zozo Championship. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for listening in today. We've got a bunch of different tournaments on the schedule. We alluded to one of them yesterday, which was the LIV Golf Team Championship. I'm going to start there. Put in a little bit of work into LIV the last couple of times out, and it's gotten us close. I mean, obviously, we had Brooks Koepka last week, but closer on some longer shots between Lahiri and Mark Leishman played well at the gate, but that didn't play well the rest of the way. So it was encouraging for a little while. I guess it wasn't that close with Leishman when I'm really thinking about it. But yeah, putting in a little bit of work into the trends of this league, trying to understand who, or this week, which team has the best chance to win. So the team championship component here is, it's a different format, obviously. There's no individual part to it. It's all team stuff, but it is a mixture of match play and stroke play. So you kind of have tiers of seeds of 12 teams, right? Top four teams, they get a bye to the second day. And then you have, on the first day, teams ranked 5th through 12th, they compete in match play. So they have two individual matches and one foursomes match, one best ball match. Match play. And the team that wins 2 points wins, right? Wins 2 out of 3 matches. And they move on. And we don't know those exact matchups yet. At least I haven't seen it. The 5th seed gets first crack at who they want to play of the bottom four. So they might say, so if you're looking at their standings, the 5th seed is the Stinger team, which is the South African team. They've been probably one of the most consistent this year in terms of finishing first, second, third, or fourth. I mean, I argue they're the most consistent. But they've only won once. And in the last 2 times, they've finished toward the bottom half, 8th and 9th. So they get first crack at who they want to play. And I would argue that they would want to pick the Majestics, because Lee Westwood would be kicked out of this league if he weren't a captain. Sam Horsfield has not played well. Ian Poulter's not played well. And if you look at their finishes in the 13 events that they have with the individual component, they finished last 2 of the last 3 and 3 times overall. They finished next to last or last 6 times out of 13. The Ironheads, despite having 1 third-place finish, are somehow worse. I don't even know how that's possible. I guess because the Majestics have enough times where they finish decently in the middle of the season. But the Ironheads are not good. They've been last, next to last, or next to next to last, 3, 5, 7, 8 of the 13. So I guess the way the point structure works, that makes it really bad for them. But if I were the Stinger boys, I'd probably go pick Majestics. Just putting that out there. Then you would have the Fireballs, and just an alert, I think the Fireballs have a very good chance of winning this thing. They would then go and pick either the Ironheads or the High Flyers, I think. But I don't think you could really go wrong making any of the picks. Maybe you go with the Cleeks. The Cleeks were dreadful in the first 7 events. They were dead last 5 of the first 8. Woo! Got better after that, though. 6th, 7th, 9th, 9th, and 3rd. Woof. So, not great. Ripper is 7th. They would then pick. So, and then Smash is 8th. And Smash is 8th because Matthew Wolf has not been any good. And really, frankly, no one else on the team has been good. Chase Koepka is bad. You have 2 players that are competent. You have Brooks Koepka, who's won, twice in this season. And then Jason Kokrak's okay sometimes. Other than that, they are horrible. So, but do you want to play, you have Jason Kokrak in a match, and you would have Brooks Koepka in a match, presumably, and you would put Chase Koepka and Matthew Wolf, throw them into the lion's den together in the foursomes match, and put all the onus on the individuals. So there's actually a chance they can win that. I think you would then, if you were Smash, you know, you're the eighth seed, you go pick whoever, you get whoever's left, right? But those four seeds are likely to advance. I mean, if Ironhead somehow, I mean, they got Swan Kim, so you're going to send him out in the foursomes. You're not going to have him be an individual point. You're going to just serve up the foursomes match. Majestics, they're out. Cleeks, maybe, if some miracle happens. High Flyers actually have some times when they play okay. So they're the one potential dangerous seed. So you would presume Smash is left to play the High Flyers. Then the winners of those move on to the next day. They do the same thing. Number one seed, which is the four aces, plays, gets their pick of the four winners all the way down to the Range Goats, which are fourth. And they play out the same format. Then the last day, every team plays each player. So they have like a one-round tournament, and every team's score counts. So the four teams that advance to what they're calling the finals, they then are all playing against each other. So whoever has the lowest four-team score from that day of stroke play wins. And then teams who got eliminated the day prior, they're competing against themselves in a band of four, and then teams 9 through 12, the first teams lost the first day, they're competing for 9 through 12, and they all play. It's weird, convoluted. It's a way to try to keep it interesting, I suppose, but I think that's a downer of a format. Anyway, I think if you're looking at who to bet here, so let's look at the market for it. So, last tab, of course. Four aces are the favorite at 330, plus 330. Crushers are next at 400. Range Goats next at 450, despite being fourth on the season. Torque is fourth at 500. I think your best play here is Stinger and the Fireballs. Stinger gets there consistently in terms of stroke play. You just don't know about match play. I mean, are the South Africans really good at match play? I don't know about all that. But they're, I mean, in terms of consistency, pretty good. So if they can somehow manage to win two matches, team matches, and they get to the final, then that's where they could shine. Big if. Fireballs played a whole lot better lately. Sergio Garcia is very good in match play. Eugenio Chikara played well and won on the Asian Tour. He's won on this tour before, albeit in a kind of sleepy event in Singapore. And then you've got Carlos Ortiz and Abe Anser. We've been playing okay. I think they got a chance. I think they legitimately have a chance. I don't know about... Here's the thing. You need two good players, really. You don't need four good players to get to the final of the match play. And then anything can happen once it gets to stroke play. However, once it gets to stroke play, the four aces are more likely to win. The Crushers are playing okay, and they've got Anirban Lahiri, and he's been playing very well this year. We got Charles Howe III, who's played okay. Paul Casey has just been dreadful. I mean, not good this year. So, all that to say, I think the bottom four are clearly the bottom four for a reason. There's almost no chance they win. Top four, I think of those. The Range Goats continue to place well because you've got some okay players, I guess. I mean, you've got Bubba, who's really been nothing. But Taylor Gooch is really the reason they are where they are. Torque has a little bit more of a distribution of good players, so maybe they're formidable in match play. But if you're going to make picks, I think I'd go four aces, Torque, Fireballs, and maybe Stinger if you're feeling it. But I think I would limit it to those three teams and see with three bets you can't get home, because I think the bottom four teams, it would be absolutely staggering to me if any of them won. If any of them got past the first round, it'd be surprising. So we'll leave it at that for that. Let's go to the Andalusia Masters. the DP World Tour event this week. You probably have heard it over the years being the Valderrama Masters, but it's been played at Valderrama for much of its existence. This year, it has moved. It's still in Soto Grande, Spain, which is where Valderrama is, but they're at a different new venue this year, and that venue is Real Club de Golf Soto Grande. So it's not like Valderrama. It's not as tight. There are water holes in play. It's a little bit of a different challenge, but it's not that tight driving golf course where it feels like you're hitting in a coffin and you gotta really be very cognizant of your tee shots. So this field this week is pretty interesting. I mean, it's not great, but your headliners are Wyndham Clark, who for some reason is playing, Ryan Fox, Adrian Meronk. Those are your top three. Adrian Meronk's not been playing as well lately. He had that little fire in him when he didn't get picked for the Ryder Cup at the Irish Open, and then just kind of flamed out a little bit. You got Wyndham Clark at 9-1, Ryan Fox at 12-1, which I really like this week. Meronk 20-1, Jordan Smith 22-1, Rasmus Højgaard 25-1, who I would have liked a few weeks ago, but don't particularly like this week. Alexander Bjork, you should like every week because he's a great ball striker, and you might not get there, but he's going to give you a chance. 25-1. Romain Langosk at 30-1, I think, is worth a look for sure. With Joost Luiten, who's 30-1 as well. I wouldn't bet Joost, but he's 30-1 also. Torbjørn Olesen, Bob McIntyre is here this week. Matt Kuchar is playing this week on the DP World Tour. They're all 35-1. Maybe Bob McIntyre. Adrian Otegi, I think a lot of people are going to be on at 40-1. Matthew Southgate, 45-1. Marcus Helligkild is 45-1. Nathan Kimsey, who finished third last week, is 50-1. Who, along with the guy who won last week, Matteo Pavon, who won his first time on the DP World Tour, winning the Spanish Open, 50-1. He was like 100-1 last week. Now he's 50-1. Jorge Campillo, 50-1. Some people probably get behind that. Ewan Ferguson, 50-1. Your 55s, Victor Perez, Nicholas Norgaard, Julian Guerriere, Julian Brun, Callum Hill. 60s, I think, are worth consideration at least. Alex Fitzpatrick, who's kind of slid off a little bit. Daniel Hillier, Guido Migliozzi, and Marcel Siem, who had a crack, had a chip. I call it more of a pitch than a chip. For 59 in the final day of the Spanish Open. So maybe he's onto something. Richard Mansell might be creeping out of the cave that he's been in for seemingly all season. 65-1 might be worth a look. Connor Symes, a guy who everyone thought was going to win by now, has not. 65-1, along with Gavin Green. Tristan Lawrence is 70. Sammy Valimaki, Henny Duplessis. Grant Forrest, who I think is maybe worth a consideration. But I would rather you go with Alejandro Del Rey at 70-1 and cut it out there. Matty Schmidt has played okay recently, but I don't think he's a threat to win. Fabrizio Zanotti is quite streaky and likes the venue, or liked the venue last week and did very well for himself. What I don't know is if he likes the venue this week, but I think he would probably like it the same. So I'm willing to bet him at 80-1. And I think that's worth a consideration at least. You're trying to find a couple longer plays here this week. Shubhankar Sharma keeps showing flashes that maybe he's going to play well, and then, you know, doesn't play especially well. Marcus Armitage, I think, is worth a consideration at 150-1. Will Besling had a really nice week last week. I would really like to look at Will Besling, actually. I've bet him a couple of times before, and I got close with him at the Italian Open a couple years ago. He was 35th last week, 14 shots out of lead, but had a really nice start to the week. He's been playing a little bit better. He had a really rough start to the year. 41st in France, the BMW PGA missed the cut, the Irish Open missed the cut. So maybe kind of on the come a little bit. A 180-1, it's worth, at least worth it. In an event where you don't have a whole lot of stars, you don't know the golf course pretty well, if he feels like he can get off the tee, get after it, maybe that's where you decide to go as your long shot play. I've seen suggestions that Audrey Arnaas at 180-1 is a worthwhile long shot play, primarily because of the Spanish connection. I guess I can live with that, but it feels like it's not especially inspired choice. And that's enough for me. I mean, What a sad state of affairs that Jazz Jane Watanand is 2,500-1. It's just got worse and worse throughout the course of the year. Guy, really, really like watching play golf. Had that run at the PGA a few years ago, but it's not in good shape now. I mean, I think the realistic possibility is that Bombers are favorite here. Ryan Fox is one of those guys at 12-1. You've got to just got to have him on the card. I think Wyndham Clark can win, but 9-1 is too short for a guy flying over to Spain to play a one-off event. At least Matt Kuchar's kind of just been playing this tour recently, so I'm willing to go with that. So that's that. Let's look at the Dominion Energy Charity Classic, which is the first of three playoff events on the PGA Tour Champions. Got a 72-player field that qualified for this, and then they'll cut it down to the top 54 in points for the next event, and then the final event is the top 36. And they play in the final event, which is the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. There are double points on offer for all of the... Usually every week it's $1 equals 1 point. Now it's $2, or 2 points equals $1. So there is a statistical chance that a top five or six player could win the Schwab Cup if they win all three events, basically. Not likely. Not likely. I think there may be one player left out after this week that could win the Schwab Cup. That's how big of a lead. It's like $1.9 million that Steve Stricker has. Steve Stricker is not playing this week. He'll need to play. Just going to show up to the last tournament and win money. But Steve Alker is the favorite this week. 4-1. Patrick Harrington's 5.5-1. Barnhart Longer's 12-1. Ernie Els is 14-1. Jerry Kelly's 16-1. And then 3-18s. Y.E. Yang, who's been playing well. Miguel Angel Jimenez and David Toms. I think some guys I want to point out here that are at least worth a consideration. Steve Alker plays well pretty much every time out, it feels like. But at 4-1, that I just can't bet that. I can bet Ernie Els at 14-1. Been good the last couple of times out. Been hanging around the medal stand. If you look at his golf results lately, T3 at the SAS Championship, T4 at Jacksonville at the Constellation Furyk and Friends, T25 at the Pure Insurance Championship. That's a little bit of an outlier. T40 at the Sanford. So he's found something recently. Dial in on it now at that 14-1 number. Vijay Singh has won recently on this tour. I want to point him out as well. T5 at the SAS Championship. T28 at Furyk and Friends, which I thought he would finish better than that. Pure Insurance Championship, T7, won the Ally Challenge. So you're getting him on a 28-1 play. Rod Pampling won last week at 28-1. I don't think they're an equal company. Also, I'm going to throw out there, Stephen Ames is 40-1. He had a much better start of the year than where he is now. T35, T47, T25, T45. So not playing very well at the moment, but at that price at 40-1, given the year that he's had, I think he's worth a little bit of a bet. Just a little. That's all I'm asking. Just a couple dollars and see where that will take him. So, and then I want to throw out there, and I will continue to throw out there, Tim O'Neill, 130-1. He's tasted it, gotten close to it a couple of times, got a little taste of it. T27 last time out, the SAS Championship, T12 at Constellation, Furyk and Friends, Sanford International, T58, the Ascension Charity Classic, T8. So not necessarily the most consistent player, but I think he's had a pretty nice year, and 130-1, that's a little too deep of a shot to ignore. So I'm gonna stick with him here and go with him at 130-1. So maybe 3-4 bets, none of the favorites. Els, I guess, is considered a favorite, but Els, Singh, maybe Stephen Ames, and definitely Tim O'Neill. So that's that tour. And then the last event for the week that isn't the PGA Tour is the BMW Ladies Championship, which is the event in South Korea. 37 or 39 of the world top 50 are playing this week, something like that. Some insane number. It's borderline major championship caliber field. And so you've got a pretty stacked odds board. I think this is a tough week. Yuju Kim is 11-1. Been playing well, obviously. Nelly Korda 12-1, Lynn Grant 14-1, along with Jin Young Ko and Atiya Titikun, who's starting to come around a little bit, starting to play better. Ronan Yin's 20-1 with Minji Lee. I'm going to default to Minji Lee pretty much every time. Yuka Sasso, 22-1 with Nasa Hataoka and Lilia Vu. Lilia Vu's been playing well. I think she's worth a look. Lost in a playoff last week to Angel Yin. Chie Shin's playing this week. Former world number one. She plays in Korea. She has for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. She's kind of walked away from the LPGA. Didn't like that life. So she just plays the big events, and this is one of the big ones, and it's in her home country. 25-1, I think, is worth consideration. Megan Kang, Georgia Hall, Celine Boutier, all 25-1. Heiran Ru is 28. Madeline Sagstrom and Haijin Choi, Carlotta Seganda, Brooke Henderson, Aria Jatanyagarn, all 30-1. I think you should look at Jatanyagarn this week, 30-1. Been playing very well. Has really kind of come along, and I don't think anyone seems to notice very well that she's playing all that good. T3 in Shanghai. T5 in the Kroger Queen City, T7 in the Portland Classic, and then T41 at the Canadian Women's Open. So three really, really good starts in a row. 30-1 is a good number, I think. Allison Gorpuz, I really would like to bet, but she's not playing well right now. Maya Stark, 40-1, feels like a slap in the face to her. She had a good week last week, bad final round. Maybe she learns quickly and figures it out. So just an excellent, excellent field here. And by the way, I'll throw Angel Yin out there as someone to bet again. I'm wondering if this is the start of like a run. She strikes me as that kind of golfer. She's very streaky. So maybe she figured out, hey, I figured out how to win. I can do this again. 65-1. Worse odds than last week because the field's better. But I think she needs a little bit more respect than that. So that's just kind of a small hunch type play. And then I will throw out Esther Henslate again. She was 225-1 last week, and she almost got us there. 90-1 this week. She's playing well. I don't think she cares who's playing in the field. She's worth a look. Definitely worth a look. Anything deeper than that, I think you're kind of going to step in it. Maybe Gemma Dryburgh. She's not playing well, but 180-1 seems like a bit of an insult for a Solheim Cup player. Yeah, that's... that's enough. That's good enough. Maybe Sarah Kempe, 300-1. Had a good run not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, at the Ascendant LPGA. If you look at her season results, I mean, she doesn't even get like a result on Google for her season. But she did finish fourth the last time out. She's a very up and down player. Missed the cut at the Walmart in Arkansas. But then three make cuts before that, including a 21st in Portland. She has a couple of top 10s otherwise on the year, a couple of T13s. It's in her. And if she's playing, she feels like she's playing well and gained something, then maybe it's worth a look there at a very deep number, 300-1. One of the deepest numbers in the field. So I'll throw that out there as a consideration. All right, that's going to do it for us on today's show. We'll run the model. Shot link and trying to get data from the PGA Tour has not been fun the last couple of weeks. It just like freezes up on me. So trying to get that settled today. We'll have all of the data for running the model. We'll get that out to you tomorrow's show for the Zozo Championship. I mean, obviously we've got some top players in the field, so that's where we're going to start, but we shall see what happens when the algorithm spits it all out for us. If you catch us on a podcast platform, let you do so. Leave a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. Leave a comment. Give me a question. Happy to talk about golf with you over email as well, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. And you can get a hold of me on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you have a great winning week this week. We'll be back tomorrow to round everything out, the card for the week, and the Zozo Championship. Have a good day, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.